Let me ask you something before we even get started. You spent 3 nights at the kitchen table planning your cross country. You've got the nav log filled out in pencil, checkpoints circled on the sectional, winds aloft copied down, fuel burn calculated to the tenth of a gallon. Beautiful piece of work. You're proud of it. You should be. Now imagine you're 40 minutes into that flight, feeling good, right on your line, and the person in the right seat looks over at you and says, "You know what? I'm not feeling great. Let's get on the ground at the nearest airport. Take us there." Everything you planned doesn't matter anymore. That pencil line goes out the window. That's the diversion. And today on Radio Hangar, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. I am Pattern. This is Traffic Pattern. And if you're headed for a private pilot check ride, this is the task that trips up more good stick and rudder pilots than almost anything else on the flight. Not because it's hard, because nobody practices it until the week before the ride. Let's walk through this together. Before we go further, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of this journey we're all on. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you earn one landing at a time. AviationSoul.com. Okay, the diversion. Here's what it actually is, somewhere in your airman certification standards. In the cross-country navigation area of operation, there's a task the examiner has to test. It says you need to be able to divert to an alternate airport and do it promptly using whatever tools you've got while still flying the airplane. That's the whole thing. Divert promptly. Fly the airplane, and here's the trap. Students hear cross-country planning, and they think the plan is the thing being tested. It isn't. The plan proves you can sit at a table and do arithmetic. The diversion proves you can think in the airplane with the engine running, the airplane bumping around, and somebody depending on you to make a decision right now. Those are two completely different skills. The examiner knows it. That's why the diversion exists. So let's talk about what actually happens and what you should do about it. The scenario usually comes when you least want it. You're a couple checkpoints into your planned cross-country. You've just proven you can hold a heading and identify a landmark, and the examiner points somewhere off the nose and says, "Weather's coming down behind us. Take me to that airport over there." Or, "Your passenger is sick. Find me the nearest field." Something like that. The very first thing I want you to do is nothing. I mean it. The first move is to keep flying the airplane, wings level, heading held, altitude held. Because here's what happens to almost everybody the moment they hear the word divert. Their eyes go straight down into the cockpit, onto the chart or the tablet, and they start hunting for the airport. And while their head is down, the airplane is quietly rolling into a turn, the nose is dropping, and now they've traded a simple navigation problem for a much worse problem, which is a slow loss of control while distracted. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Aviate, navigate, communicate, in that order. Every single time. The diversion does not change that order. You fly first, you figure out where you're going second. Nobody ever failed a check ride for taking 4 extra seconds to make sure the airplane was under control before they looked down. So, wings level. Now pick your airport. This is the decision-making piece, and it's the part the examiner is really watching. Because nearest airport doesn't always mean the closest dot on the chart. Let's say the examiner gives you a sick passenger. You look out and there are 2 fields roughly the same distance away. One is a private grass strip with no services and unknown condition. The other is a towered field with a control tower, medical help a phone call away, and a long paved runway. Which one? You go to the one that solves the problem. If somebody's sick, you want people and help on the ground, not the closest patch of grass. If it's weather chasing you, you want the field that gets you down and out of the sky fastest and safest. Say that out loud. Tell the examiner why you picked the one you picked. I'm choosing this airport because it's got a tower, it's got services, and the runway's plenty long for us. That one sentence tells the examiner you're not just reading a chart, you're managing a situation. That's the whole ballgame. Now you've picked it. You need 3 things, and only 3 things to get there: a heading, a distance, and a fuel and time check. Let's do each one, and let's do them the fast way, because on the check ride you do not have time to build a whole new nav log. Heading first, don't reach for the plotter. You will not sit there in turbulence, lining up a protractor on your lap. Instead, look outside, point the nose at the airport, and turn to it. Then look down at your heading indicator and read the number. That's your heading. You just did in 3 seconds what the plotter does in 3 minutes. If you can see the field, fly to the field. Pilotage. It's the oldest trick there is, and it still works. If you can't see it yet, here's the shortcut. Roll your chart or glance at your tablet. Lay your eyes along the line from where you are to where you're going, and estimate it against the compass rose or the latitude lines. You're not looking for a perfect number. You're looking for roughly north, a little east. Northeast. Turn to 040 and then refine it once you spot the field. Promptly beats precisely here. The ACS says divert promptly. It does not say divert with a 1 degree wind correction angle. Now distance. This is my favorite trick, and I want you to actually try it on your next flight, so it's automatic. Take your fingers and use them right on the sectional chart. On a standard sectional, the whole width of your thumb, tip to tip across the knuckle, is right around 10 nautical miles for a lot of folks. Everybody's hands are different, so here's what you do. Before the check ride, take the chart, take the sectional scale on the edge, and figure out what 10 nautical miles is on your own hand. Maybe it's two finger widths. Maybe it's the tip of your pinky to your first knuckle. Whatever it is for your hand, learn it, and then you can measure any distance on the chart with the hand you already brought with you. No plotter, lay the fingers down, count the 10-mile chunks. That's about 30 miles, done. And if you're flying with a tablet, even easier, most of the electronic flight bag apps let you press and hold on the airport, and it'll draw you a line with a heading and a distance right there. Use it. The examiner wants to see you use the tools available to you, and in 2026, a tablet is a tool available to you. Just don't let the tablet pull your eyes inside for 30 seconds at a time. Glance, process, look back outside. Now the part everybody forgets. The fuel and time check. This is the difference between a pass and a bust, and it's where the examiner separates the pilots from the button pushers. You've got a heading and you've got a distance. Say it's 30 miles, now do the mental math. You know your ground speed, roughly. Let's say you're doing about 100 knots over the ground. 100 knots is a mile and a half every minute, roughly. Actually, let me give you the cleaner one. At 120 knots, you're doing 2 miles a minute. That's the number I want living in your head, because the division is so easy, 2 miles a minute. So 30 miles at 2 miles a minute is 15 minutes, even if you're slower. At 90 knots or 100, call it a mile and a half a minute, 30 miles is about 20 minutes. You do not need it to the second. You need it close enough to answer the real question. And the real question is, do I have the fuel to get there with my reserves still intact? Look at your fuel. Look at your time to the new field. Do you land with your day VFR reserve? Your 30 minutes still in the tank? If the answer is yes, great, press on. If the diversion is taking you somewhere far enough that it eats into your reserve, that's not a diversion anymore. That's a fuel emergency you're flying yourself into, and you need to be picking a closer field. The examiner is looking for you to close that loop out loud. 30 miles, about 15 minutes, I've got 2 hours of fuel, we're in great shape. That sentence right there, that's a pass, then and only then communicate. If you're near a tower or you're talking to somebody already, tell them what you're doing. Center, Skyhawk 2345 X-ray, we're diverting to land at Millville. If you're out in the sticks with nobody to talk to, that's fine, but at least think about who you'd tell and get the weather at the new field. Pull up the automated weather, get the ATIS if it's a towered field. You want to know the wind and the active runway before you get there, not while you're turning final. Let me put the whole thing together in the order it actually happens, because sequence is everything here. Fly the airplane first, wings level, hold what you've got. Pick the field that solves the problem and know why you picked it. Turn toward it. Point the nose. Read the heading. Refine it once you see it. Measure the distance with your fingers or your tablet. Get a rough number. Do the time and fuel math out loud. 2 miles a minute. Land with reserves. Then communicate and get the weather. Fly, pick, turn, measure, math, talk. That's the diversion. 6 moves, you can run all 6 in under a minute once you've practiced them, and practice is the whole secret. You cannot invent this workflow for the first time on the check ride with an examiner watching. You have to have done it on a couple of your solo cross countries first, where it's cheap to be a little clumsy. Here's the honest part, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Learning to fly is hard and it is expensive, and the diversion feels like one more thing piled on top of a mountain of things. I get it, but I want you to reframe it, because this is the one task on the whole check ride that isn't really about the check ride at all. The plan you build at the kitchen table is a wish. It's what you hope the day looks like. The diversion is what flying actually is. Weather moves, passengers get sick. A rough running engine turns let's get to the destination into let's get on the ground. The pilots who scare me are the ones who can only fly the plan. The pilots I trust are the ones who can throw the plan away in 5 seconds and calmly build a new one from the seat they're sitting in. That second pilot is the one you're training to become. The checkride diversion is just the day somebody checks whether you got there. So on your next flight, do me a favor. Somewhere out in the practice area, out over ground, you know, pick a random airport off to the side and divert to it. Nobody has to ask you. Fly it, pick it, turn to it, measure it, run the fuel math out loud even though you're alone. Do it 3 or 4 times over the next few weeks and I promise you when the examiner folds up your beautiful nav log and points out the window, you're going to smile a little, because you've already done this. It's just Tuesday. The task standards I walked through today come straight out of the FAA's Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate, and the fuel reserve numbers live in the Federal Aviation Regulations, so go read the actual language for yourself. It's shorter than you think. You can find the show and everything else we do over at RadioHanger.com. Fly the airplane first. Everything else waits its turn. I'll see you next time.